Somewhere in the midst of this week, God revealed to me another message, and I thought He wanted me to leave this series and go tackle that message. And as soon as I started preparing for it and reading it and starting it to put in a message form for myself to preach, God really kind of revealed to me it is a good message, and you will need it, but you want to leave that series. I don't want you to leave that series. The series is We're Not Gatekeepers. The series is right in the middle. We're about to get into two areas. We've been in two areas already the church doesn't like. And we're going to get into two areas that we absolutely despise. We wouldn't say we despise them, but our actions will speak louder than our words. Well, it's a real uncomfortable series. When you go to the book of Acts and preach a series, it's very uncomfortable. Because we really can't compare ourselves to the book of Acts. We can compare ourselves to what other churches do. But we can't compare ourselves to what the church is supposed to do. The church, in its infancy, was spiritually powerful without a home. Now we're a home without any spiritual power. Somebody write that note down. It was pretty good. So God said, yeah, you're wanting to move out of this area pretty quick, because we understand that Cornelius was praying and doing stuff, and God spoke to him and got him ready to receive the gospel. Do you know this world is ready to receive the gospel? Did you know that? Did you know that? I mean, I'm just going to be flat out with you. Some of y'all sitting in this church, you think this world doesn't want to receive the gospel. Some of y'all think, man, this world don't want Jesus. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They just don't know it. I'm about to give you some cliche stuff as a preacher. Right now, this world is cramming stuff into their life trying to replace Jesus. I thought y'all would know that one. Because we've done it. Right? We've taken things in the world and try to make them work in our lives to fit that void that Jesus is the only one that'll fit. Some of y'all done it with women. Some of you done it with men, and some of you done it with money, and some of you done it with jobs, and some of you done it with drinking, some of you done it with drugs. Yeah, those things. You know what? This world right here is so dark and so miserable, and thinking their sin is so overwhelming, but they can't tell anybody, and the church is silent. We're in here. Doing some kind of weird reverse gospel. Build the church, set inside, and wait till they come, and then tell them about Jesus when they get there. That's not biblical. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Now, I don't want to make you mad, but if I do, then I'm sorry. But can I ask you a question? How many people have you preached and shared the gospel to since you've been saved? How many people have you led to Jesus? Can we have altar call now? How many people you've lived with, worked with, and served with for multiple years? On your job, played sports with, maybe even related to, and you say you love Jesus, and you say you love church, but you can't convince somebody you're spent more time with, probably, than your spouse, that they need Jesus too. I'll take your silence as the biggest amens that I got. It's uncomfortable because we think a lost and dying world don't want what we have. And that's just us making excuses. The next thing was Peter. Peter was getting ready. Pe- Peter was getting ready. He was ready to eat. Oh, I think the church is always ready to eat. Come on, if you can't amen that, there's something wrong with you. We're good at that. Church, he was ready to eat, but instead he got in a prayer meeting with God. Well, that's good too, right? Have you ever got in prayer meeting with God? I'm going to try to get some of y'all back on my side here real quick before I really get y'all mad. All right, I'm going to try to get some of you back over. Have you ever went to praying to God and you thought it was going to be a simple little love prayer? You're just going to get your meal prayed for, or you're just going to pray for somebody real quick, and next thing you know, you fall out in the Spirit of God. Next thing you know, you're praying for like 15 minutes and somebody over there is starving to death going, I just wanted the salad prayed for. You've blessed everything. All right, I've got about 10 of you back on my side. Praise God. I love that. I love falling into meeting with God. Sometimes it happens when I preach. Sometimes it happens when I pray. Sometimes it happens when I sing. But God, I love being in the presence of God. I do, and you should as a believer. This should be one of the evidences that you love God. When He shows up and He shuts you down, you're like, thank God. Let me ask you a question. We're a clean church, man. I mean, we are clean. We keep ourselves clean here. We keep ourselves in control. Well, I don't, but y'all do. When's the last time God showed up so big in your life that you did some things and you were going like, God, they're going to think I'm crazy. Don't you miss it, though? Don't you miss it? I've been a pastor for a while now, and I've kind of missed God doing something to me that's so weird that everybody goes, man, I don't even know if we really need Him to be doing anything like speaking and representing the church because He might be crazy. I don't have to look at everybody in here to know you're already making that thought anyway. When did we trade control for God? Because Peter was over there and he was praying and he knew Jesus told him, hey, one day I'm going to send you into all the world and to preach the gospel to every nation. Peter's like, yeah, that's good. Have you ever been to church and the preacher or the Bible or somebody teaching or somebody singing say something, you go, man, that's good, but you don't believe it? God will call you to be missionaries. God will call you teachers, preachers. He will send you places. He'll give you over to people that hate your guts for you to share the gospel. I just said that. Some of y'all are going, hey, man, that's good. Until God, today, as you're on your way home, God puts it on your heart to go to a place that you've never been to be a minister of the gospel to people that you don't really care for. Right? Peter was in there praying, and he's like, God, I'm so hungry. But I'm going to talk to you instead of being hungry. That's better, ain't it, God? God, I wish I would be spiritual with me. All of a sudden, like, oh, man, God, me and you, we're going to talk. I'm hungry, but you know what? I'd rather talk to you than eat. Have you ever been in love with somebody so much you'd rather talk to them and eat? Some of y'all had to go back like 44 years. God, I remember them little school kid crushes. You know what I mean? No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. I remember my mom walking in there yanking the phone out of my hand. I'll do it. I'll hang it up for you, buddy. You're getting on my nerves. That's when you would rather talk to them than oh, that's how we're supposed to be, what God was supposed to be. Oh, I'm going to talk to you. And God took that hunger for natural food, and He went in there and He said, you know what? You know what I'd like to feed you? What? He goes, I'd like to feed you everything that's not kosher. I would like to give you everything that you said you would never do for me, and I want you to eat it, because when you're eating it, you're going to be sitting across from people that you never thought you'd be ministering to. I like what Peter said. Peter's like, no, Lord, no, Lord, I've never. Some of y'all need to hear this. You keep saying we've never, but you know what? There's a lot of nevers God wanted you to do where we could see more people saved. I've never sang. I've never preached. I've never taught. I've never got out of my comfort zone. It's time to. It's time. Some of y'all are going to be at the end of your lives laying on hospital beds about to take your last breath, and you're going to say, man, I wish I'd done more for Jesus, not less. God has given you talents, gifts, and abilities where He can weave the gospel in those things where you could see people saved and lives changed. That's what He's done. You can weave the gospel into anything. You can weave your testimony into anything. I shared a little bit of the gospel in my testimony with a guy who had to make me wait on the side of the road because they were putting water line in. He went on for 5 minutes about who he was. He had a couple of expletives in there. They were pretty good. He worked them in good. Expletives are cuss words. Sorry, I didn't mean to go. And I love that. I do. I'm like, that's cool, man. He goes, what do you do? Funny you should ask. You know that big church you pass when you're coming down this road? I pastor that thing. Okay, all right then. Right? But you know what? I don't care. Cuss words ain't never hurt me. Cuss words don't repent. I don't go, oh, man, you're done. You know what I say? Man, I used to curse way better than you did. I could tell you how to string those along to kind of get more adjectives and superlatives in there and kind of put the story together for you. But once Jesus changed my heart, He changed my words. He could do the same for you. Amen? He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm leaving a drug addiction place where I told them about Jesus, and I felt the Holy Spirit come down in there, and I think there's some men over there that are about to give their hearts and lives to Jesus, and I'm going to my office where I'm going to pray and kind of study over the messages that we're going to give, and hopefully I'll run into a couple people here and there that I can tell about Jesus, kind of like you. It seems like that we're in like a little stall here that I'm waiting, but God kind of knew you was going to be here, and He knew I was going to be here, and He knew I could talk to you a little bit about the Lord. He's like, well, man, that's pretty neat. Amen? You can work your testimony. You can work the gospel into anything if you want to. It just makes us uncomfortable. So then we get into the most uncomfortable place is the next part. And I told you this. The church doesn't like this part. I don't know if we despise it, but we just really don't like it. It's in verse 18, Acts chapter 10, verse 18. And I'm not going to be too long. I'm just going to challenge you a whole lot today. And God called and asked whether Simon, and called. When Peter was praying and the sheet came down and he said he's wanting to send him to the Gentiles, then in verse 18, the Gentile, Cornelius, had sent some messengers, three men, to get Peter. And after Peter got through praying, finally accepting what God wanted him to do, you might want to write that down. Have you ever accepted what God has called you to do? They stood outside the gate of his home, or the home that he was staying in, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. Ain't that amazing? He finally gets on board with God, and all of a sudden somebody's there to get him. If you'll ever get on board with what God wants to do in your life, you'll have a vehicle automatically ready to go and do that. Amen? God is a God. He's a creative God. He's a powerful God. He's a sending God. That's the word I'm looking for. He's a sending God. He's a sending, because if He puts it on your heart, He'll equip you to get there. Amen? All of a sudden, the men are at the gate. Hey, Peter's like, all right, Lord, I'll do what you have me to do. I'm serious about it. I'll eat anything, and I'll talk to anybody about the Lord that you want, if that's what you want. Hey, is Peter here? Hey, is Peter here? Yeah, he is. While Peter thought on these visions, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Doubting nothing. Man, doubting nothing. Doubting nothing. Might want to make a note there. Doubting nothing. Here's a Jewish man from Jewish culture going to the Gentiles to tell them that they need Jesus, and everything they're about is okay because God's okay with them. He's been living under certain rules most of his life. Peter, they estimate Peter's around 40 years old when he gets saved. Some of y'all got saved so late, you're still stuck in your ways. You need God to rearrange, rechange, and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Okay, let me be real. Some of you are stubborn, mean, hard-hearted. You don't forgive. You hold grudges. You talk about other people. You're gossips, backbiters, and you don't know anything good to say if it doesn't go your way. Okay. So what you need to do is you need to go like this. You need to go, God, I've lived most of my life this way. Will you please change my heart and my mind that I can reach more people for Jesus? Okay, some of y'all are so mad at me right now. I'm so sorry. Let me help you. I was a liar, a good one, an adulterer, a fornicator, a thief. I used drugs, alcohol, and every other thing. So I was more wicked than you are, okay? Good. So we're even. You know what I had to ask God to do after He saved me? Please rewire, rechange, remake, remold, do all this stuff for me, God, because I can't represent you in the way that I know. So God says, go with him, doubting nothing. Some of you doubt nothing. I lived his whole life one way, and now God's saving him and sending him down the road. And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Why are you asking? And in verse 22, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of a good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into thine house and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them, and he lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the morrow, after they entered in Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and they called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Oh, wow, what a cool thing. Do you see it yet? It's about a 3 or 4 day journey, and Peter's walking with two Gentiles that's probably eating pork sandwiches and shrimp. Hey, son, you want one of these po' boys? It's got a little shrimp in there. It's got a little Cajun sauce. It's got some pork wrapped in it. You want one? Good Lord, who am I with? Can I preach to you a little bit? If you hang out with Jesus long enough, He will put you in groups of people and send you places that you'll be sitting there going, you better be with me, God, because these people are crazy. You better be with me going down this road, because He'll send you to places that you don't know anything about, you don't feel comfortable in, and you don't even know how to operate. You don't know the language. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know how to do it. But you know what? All you know is God sent me. Listen, there's a lot of things in ministry I've done and I'm doing that I don't know how in the world to do. I just do it. All right, God sent me. Hey, God sent me here. There's a lot of people that are professionals, but they have no passion. Mama sent them. College sent them, professional sent them, but God never sent them. All them other things are awesome, and they're great. You get them. You get a college education. You get everybody in your family to line up and say, hey, you're good, but praise God, make sure God put it on you too. Amen? Then Peter went down, and he got to this. Could you imagine he walked into Cornelius' house? What was cool about Cornelius is he's better than some of us are, and we've been saved for 25 years. Cornelius is a man, he's a Jewish man. Hey, he's not a Jewish man, he's a Gentile. And he's sitting in his house, and God gave him one. God, get a hold of this. He gave him one order. One order. He goes, go send for Peter, and he's going to tell you how to get saved. You know what Cornelius did? He took it a step further. Some of y'all need to take it a step further. When Peter showed up at his house, do you know who was waiting on him? Cornelius, his neighbors, and his family. You know what Cornelius did? Cornelius said, I'm not the only one that needs Jesus. Cornelius did something that we need to learn how to do. He convinced other people that they need Jesus. Oh, other people that he loved. That put me onto this other verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, Then we are ambassadors for Christ. Wait a minute. Make a note right here. Are you an ambassador for Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer in Jesus? So then by that measure, you are an ambassador. Then you are a representative of the kingdom of God here on earth. Are you a good one? Are you bringing people to the kingdom of God? Are you bringing people to the presence of God to enter into the kingdom of God? Is the way you talk, walk, dress, think, operate, is it constantly thinking, all right, how am I going to get people to Christ? Or do you have a hard time leading anybody to Christ? The people who intimately know you, the people that you're related to, your friends that are really close to you, and they wouldn't even attend, they wouldn't even give you the time of day. I'm like, why do you, there's nothing about you that says I'm an ambassador for Christ. Whew. I know, don't be mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Cornelius had 3 days. Just 3. He ain't even saved yet. Everybody come to my house. We're having a revival. We just sent for a Peter. We just sent for a preacher named Peter. He's down there, and I really don't even know if he's going to show up or not because he's a Jewish guy and we're Gentiles, and we just ask him to come. We don't know any of the details, but God seems to think that he will show up. So if God thinks he's going to show up, then I want, when he gets here, I want you guys to hear what I hear. Ain't that sweet? I mean, golly bum. Here's Cornelius. Cornelius has got all these eyeballs and ears in the room. Get as many eyeballs and ears as you can in the room with Jesus. Man, I hope you start living in such a way that the way you live draws people to Jesus. You're so kind. You're so considerate. You're so loving. You're so praying. And I'm about to drop one on you. And you're so forgiving. Because the way you forgive is usually indicative of how many people are going to get saved around you. There was a thief on a cross. He got saved because he watched Jesus forgive people who were crucifying him in the process. In the process. You might be going through the process of the hardest thing in your life. Are you forgiving people, loving people, caring for people? What I mean, are you an ambassador for Jesus? Let me give you the rest of that verse. Do y'all want the rest of it? Say, yeah, all right, all right. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Can I break it down? I think I will. As though God did beseech you by us. It was like God was begging you to come to Jesus through us. Would anybody ever say that of you? Your lifestyle is like God begging me to come to Him and be reconciled. God, I hope so. I hope the Bible asks us to be one thing in the world. It says, be salt in the world. Whew. Salt will make you thirsty. Salt, can I tell you another thing about salt that's really cool? Salt changes for nobody, but salt changes everything. Amen? When salt gets on it, salt says you're going to change. Amen? Salt don't get on anything and go, I'm going to change for you. You know what? You're a Christian. You're a believer. You should be able to walk in a room full of lost people and not clam up, shut down, hide out, and go, oh, man. You should walk in there and say, well, y'all done messed up and invited a Christian up in here. Next year, you'll know better. Some of y'all get grand opportunities to pray in front of your families. Let them have it. Some of y'all get opportunities to speak to your loved ones and your friends, and they're telling you all their problems, and you act like you don't have the answer. You should just grab them by each side of the collar and say, man, I know what will fix this. It's Jesus. You're missing the main thing. You're trying to have marriage without Jesus, kids without Jesus, job without Jesus, life without Jesus. If you'll just get a hold of Him, He'll make everything come to be normal. God, y'all are so, He'll even work through your problems better. Have you ever had a problem with Jesus? A problem comes along and you think it's too big for Jesus? God, I love those. I go to God and I'm like, oops, I'm preaching this. I go to God and I'm like, hey, God, I got a problem. here it is. He's like, I know, I seen it coming 2,556 years ago. I seen it coming. It's not a problem. It's going to make you better. It's going to draw you closer to me, and it's going to help others be saved. So through the problem, look to me, seek me in the problem, and I'll work through that problem. I'm preaching better than you're letting on. I'll work through that problem, make you a better Christian, that you can minister to somebody else after you get through the problem. You look at every problem like, oh God, this is going to destroy me. And God's like, I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm letting you walk through this because there's somebody else that needs to hear you and say, I trusted God when I didn't want to. There's been times in my life where I didn't want to trust God. But you know what? He boiled me all the way. I wish I could sit up here and say, Charlie, I'd like to see who I was, a big, strong Christian. Know what it came down to? I used every measure possible that I could do in my physical strength, and I got down to the end of myself, and I threw up my hands, and I said, all right, God, help. And he said, thank God. And he went to fixing and molding and making, and now people come to me and say, man, I remember when you walked through that. I remember how strong you was. Man, you are. I love when people do this to me. God, you're a warrior for Jesus. Good one. Yeah, I'm a warrior, all right. I shut the door, fall in the floor, and cry out to God. I ask him, I said, God, without you, I'm nothing. If you don't get in this, I'll fail. I can't breathe without you. I can't think without you. And he's like, okay, get up. Get up. I hear you. You're a warrior. Yeah, we're warriors. We just have different kinds of warfare. And the greatest tool in our arsenal is we've got a leader named Jesus. That if we get his name in the battlefield, it'll rearrange and destroy what the enemy was going to do. It'll take the person who hates you and wants to destroy you and kill you and wipe you off the face of the planet, who's sitting right beside you and you're having bread with them. He'll look over at them and go, I know what you're up to, but it's not going to work. I want to help somebody right here. Judas walked with Jesus all the years of his ministry. He knew he was going to betray him. He even wrote it in the Old Testament. The one who dips bread with me will raise his heel against me. But I'll use what he was going to do for the glory of God. My worst enemy will send me to the cross, which he'll think he won. But when I die on the cross, I'm going to set humanity free if they'll accept the salvation. So what your enemy meant for evil, God meant for good, to save many people alive. It's high time, it's past time, that the church would go. We need to go into this world with the gospel. We can come in here, we can eat and fellowship. That's great. That's one part of Christianity. That makes us who we are. We will bind together. Then we can come in here and we can worship, we can preach, and we can learn and pray, and that's great. But there's another part of that pie that has to be fulfilled. We must go. Because we're the only ones with the salt. We're the only ones with the light. We're the only ones with the message that's going to change this world. You say, well, what if we don't change the world? Be like the little kid who is throwing starfishes back into the sea. I can't save them all. But I saved that one. And I saved that one. And I saved that one. I don't know if I'm going to save the whole world. But praise God, what if you lead the one to the Jesus that's going to save a multitude upon a multitude upon a multitude? We're just a little church on the top of a mountain in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. God started a little church called the Church at Pentecost way back in the New Testament when they were sitting in the upper room and he filled them. There was only 120 people in there and he filled them up with the Holy Spirit of God, and the church ain't been silent ever since. There's more people here than there was there. God can work through us just like he can them. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Listen, this invitation, I don't know if it's going to be one of salvation or not, But would there be anybody in the church that would come forward this morning and rededicate your service to the Lord? That would come forward and say, God, just this simple prayer, here I am, send me. God, here I am, send me. That's not a hard prayer. God, here I am, send me. God, use me in this community. Use me in my family. Use me around my friends. And then, God, use me in this world. God, here I am. Send me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to rededicate my service to you. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, the greatest prayer would be, God, forgive me of my sins. And then send me. We don't want anybody in this church. We don't want anybody to join this church unless you're totally born again saved. And then we want you to join, and we want you to run laps around us and do great and awesome things. If God's dealing with your heart, please come.